Your Bibles this morning, 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. We'll look at the first four verses this morning. 1 John chapter number 1. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We come to this passage of Scripture, and the Bible says in the conclusion of verse number 1, the word of life. If we're going to figure out and understand this passage of Scripture, we're going to have to find out who the word of life is. And we're going to take time to look at this passage of Scripture, and I think it's important that we know what the Bible says. And this is a few verses. If you're not careful, you read those verses and your eyes begin to go cross-eyed. And instead of it trying to figure out and understand what God wants us to know from His Word, we pass on by. But I think that is of utmost importance. As a matter of fact, I know is of utmost importance that we understand what God wants to tell us in the first four verses of the book of 1 John. The word of life. We want to talk about this, the word of life. Who is the word of life? Number one, point number one is this. The word of life is Jesus. The word of life is Jesus. The Bible says here in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. It continues to describe the word of life. This life was manifested, and we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. We're talking about the word of life. Who is the word of life? The word of life is Jesus. The word of life is Jesus. Why is that important? Because we're going to see that the word of life, Jesus, is the focus of the book of 1 John. It's the focus of the entire word of God. The Word. Now, we'll see here the Word of life. We see here it begins that which it was from the beginning. Now, what's the Bible going to tell us? The Bible's going to tell us that the Word of life is eternal. When did Jesus start? That's the question we've got to think about for just a minute. When did Jesus start? Jesus has no beginning. Jesus is eternal God. The Bible says in John chapter number 1, and you can make note of this passage of Scripture, it's important. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. When did Jesus start? Jesus has no beginning. Jesus is eternal with God. Now you try to wrap your brain around something that has no beginning and has no ending, and you'll lose your mind, because we are finite. We are people of the world. We are people who understand beginnings and endings, but God has neither. He's always been, He always will be, His eternal God. And I don't claim to understand all that I know about that. But I do know that the Bible makes it very plain, and the New Testament makes it very clear, and we must believe and understand that Jesus is eternal. Now, if you mess up who Jesus is, you've messed up your faith. You see, Jesus is eternal. If you think Jesus had his start in New York City in the 30s or 40s, you're off base. If you think Jesus is just some guy who happened to be really awesome and was born, and we hear his story and people have elaborated his story and made it sound really amazing, but he was just a really great, amazing guy that shook the world with his awesome leadership, you've got the wrong idea about Jesus. Jesus was a good man. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. His mother was Mary. But if you just make Jesus some good man, then you've missed out on who Jesus really is. Some good man has never been able to save all of mankind from the penalty of sin and death and hell. But Jesus, because He is eternal, that which is from the beginning, Jesus is eternal. I'm thankful. Jesus is eternal. Now, John's writing here. He's wanting to encourage you to trust in the Jesus that he knew, the Jesus that he loved, the Jesus that had saved his soul. And so he says, I want you to know something. Jesus is from the beginning. He has no ending. When we read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Guess who was present for the creation? Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 1 that he was in the beginning and the whole world was made by him. Jesus is God. That which is from the beginning, he is eternal. The Bible says next, which we have heard. Now, this is something that I think is so great for us to pay attention to. Now, John says, hey, listen, I heard him. Now, I'm not talking about some spirit that we dreamed up, some God that men and women have worshipped, like Buddha or Baal. Or I'm talking about God in the flesh who we heard. John testifies, he says, I heard him. He that was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. He said, I didn't only hear him, but I saw him. I've seen him with my eyes. And the Bible says, which we have looked upon. Now, I don't know about you, but seen and looked is very similar to me. But there's two different ideas here. The first thing, John says, I saw him. But he says, I did more than just see him. I didn't only just see him in passing. I didn't see him in a dream. I saw him, but I looked upon him. I studied him. Isn't that good? He studied. He said, I've looked upon him. I've studied. I've become acquainted with him. So not only that, he says, our hands have handled him. What did he say about Jesus? He says, I've touched him. I've touched him. And he says, I want you to know who he is. He is the Word of Life. He's the Word of Life. Peter, he did something similar. When he was beginning to teach and tell everybody about Jesus and the importance of trusting in Jesus, Peter said something similar. You can turn back a couple pages in your Bible to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1, and look with me in verse number 15. 2 Peter chapter number 1, Peter's teaching folks about Jesus. He's giving Jesus the credibility that he needs and deserves. He says, here's how I want you to know that Jesus is true. He says in 1 Peter 1:15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What did he say? He says, I want you to know something. This faith, this church, this Christianity is not cunningly devised fables. He says it's more than that. He says it's the fact that we have known the Lord, the power of the Lord, and we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. What did Peter say? Peter said, hey, listen, I'm not making anything up. Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is who we say he is. Jesus is the Word of Life. Jesus is God. He says, I saw him, I touched him, I experienced him. The Word of Life is Jesus, the Word. Have you ever wondered why John finds it so important to refer to Jesus as the Word? The Word. Why would you call Jesus the Word? Let's keep your finger here in 1 John. Turn back with me to the book of John, chapter number 1. Because we need to see it for a second. I want you to see this. It's important that you do. That there's. It's not that John is trying to hide who Jesus is. He's trying to help us understand who Jesus is. When John calls Jesus the Word, why did he do that? Now, I'll just be Quite frankly, if I was writing John chapter number 1, I would say in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Now, I will say that a lot of people want to take and twist verse number 1 up and take it out of its context and ascribe some other person to the word or some other thought or idea to the word. But Jesus is the word. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. And if I were writing, I'd have said Jesus. But God in His Word says, I want you to know something. And I want, John, I want you to write it like this. In the beginning was the Word. Why? To confuse people? No. No, because I want to be able to describe who Jesus is. You can see this plainly in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. When did Jesus start? The same? In the beginning with God. Verse number 3. All things were made by Him. Who created everything? Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together. Three in one. They created all that is. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. Now the Bible gives us some real clarity. You say, I'm still not sure if the Word is Jesus or not. Look at verse number 14 of John chapter number 1. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who came and dwelt among us? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. Why in the world, John? Why in the world, God, did you refer to Jesus as the Word? I've thought about it and considered it and studied it, and it's pretty fun to think about. The Word. What is a word? A word is an expression of thought. A word, you ascribe words when you want to describe what something is, when you want to explain something. A word is an expression of thought. How many of you have ever seen God? We see His handiwork. How do we know the nature of God? How do we know the Spirit of God? How do we know the person of God? We know the person of God through the Word. Let me tell you something. Jesus is God manifested, showed to us. If you go back to our text, 1 John chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it. The Word of life was manifested. That word manifest, what's it mean? Made visible. How could we ever see God? How could we ever know God? How could we ever understand God? Well, we needed Jesus. The Bible says that the Word was manifest, made visible. Jesus is the Word. Jesus, the Word, is God described and declared and explained to us. You see, when we consider the fact that Jesus is the Word of life, we have to understand that Jesus is the Word, the description of who God is. You get all kinds of ideas of who God is. Now, a lot of people sometimes will think, boy, Jesus was really good, but God, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I often deal with things that break my heart. I often deal with circumstances that are difficult and harsh. And I often see things that I think, God, why did you not do that differently? But we have to understand that God and Jesus are one. And Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the description. Jesus represents who God the Father and God the Holy Spirit is. And so we need to understand that when we see Jesus, we know who God is. And so when you begin to think that God is some God that just sends down firebolts from heaven to judge and hurt people, you got to rethink that, because Jesus and God are one. And so when I remember who God is, I'm able to deal with the troubles of life knowing that God is just like Jesus, because Jesus is God. And when I think about that, my perspective of difficult things changes because I know that God loves unconditionally. When I think about that, I'm able to deal with the difficulties in life because I understand that God is compassionate. It was fun. I looked at the word compassion. And oh, how many times in the New Testament Jesus was moved with compassion. Sin causes great grief and destruction and trouble, but Jesus is moved with compassion. And God has compassion on us. How do you know it? Because that's what Jesus was. Jesus is the Word. Jesus describes to us who God really is. And if you get to this place where you think, man, it's been a rough go, and you want to despise God, but you can see in Jesus the good things in the story of Jesus, you remember something. They are the same. And though the circumstances of the moment are very difficult and hard, and they leave you heartbroken, you remember something. God is still working in love, and God's compassion has not changed. He's the Word. When I think of that, I think of a forgiving God. Aren't you thankful for a forgiving God? In just the next few verses of the book of 1 John, we're going to have one of my favorite verses. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus is the Word. God is forgiving. God is loving. God is compassionate. God is faithful. How do you know that? Because we see it in Jesus. We see it in Jesus. Unless you're tempted to separate the two and somehow think because of the difficulty of the moment that you can't trust the love of God, you remember something. Jesus and God are the same, and Jesus is working on our behalf. He's the Word. Not only is He the Word, but He's the Word of life. It's important we pay attention to that. He is the Word of life. Some people have the idea that living and living it up are the same thing. You see, we spend a lot of our time, we get upset because we're not able to live it up the way we'd like to. Oh, how often our plans are changed. But let me tell you something. Living goes way beyond the few short years that we live on this earth. As a matter of fact, we have some details here in verse number 2. The life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. Life is eternal. You see, life through Christ is not just living it up for now. Life is eternal. Eternal life. Folks, we're going to have to get the place and stay in the mindset that life has its difficulties. Life has its burdens. The land in which we live is cursed by sin. Does that mean we don't have happiness? Oh no, we can have happiness, and we're going to get to that. Does that mean we can't have, oh no, we can have joy. Oh no, we can look forward to the days that are ahead. But when we have the Word of life, when we have Jesus, we have life. We have life for now and life for eternity. We have real life. We have true life. You see, the Word of life is Jesus. Folks, we need Him. The Word of life is Jesus. Number two, the Word of life brings fellowship. Look at the Scripture says in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The Word of life brings fellowship. Jesus brings fellowship. I'm going to talk to you for just a moment about fellowship. Do you know we all need fellowship? You need fellowship. I need fellowship. We all need fellowship. We need fellowship first and foremost with Jesus. The only place that we can have the best of fellowship is through Christ. The Bible says we need to determine to have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son. And we have fellowship with the Father through the Son. And we have fellowship with God. Something fascinating is that we can have fellowship with God. We get to have fellowship with God. Fellowship. But not only is there an emphasis in this passage of Scripture with fellowship with God, an intimacy, a partnership, communion with God, but it's also an emphasis on the fellowship with others. You may be one of these people that say, I'm fine being alone. Well, if you are, you have a responsibility. I want you to see what the Apostle John was saying. He says, we're telling you about Jesus. We're declaring, hear what it says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare Jesus unto you. Why? That ye also may have fellowship with us. But what was he doing? He was saying, I want you to know that you guys need fellowship with us, and we need fellowship with you. We're telling you about Jesus because fellowship is of utmost importance, is necessary. If you're here, one of these people that say, I'm good alone, I'm okay by myself, well, that's fine. You and all of your amazing personal strength and loneliness, you need to give a little bit of your strength to somebody else. You need to fellowship with somebody. Nobody's on an island, and all of us must be investing. All of us must be serving. All of us must yearn for fellowship with God and fellowship with others. We need to work at it. You see, the Word of Life brings fellowship. We need each other. Finally, number 3, the Word of Life brings joy. The Word of Life brings joy. Here's what the Bible says in verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The Word of Life brings, Jesus brings joy. Do you know Jesus has always brought joy? Keep your finger here and go with me to the book of Luke. Back to Luke chapter number 1. We're going to the Christmas story in March. It's absurd, I know. Jesus always brought joy. Now, the word joy and happiness are not synonymous. You can be happy and have joy at the same time. But you can also be unhappy and have joy at the same time. Joy is that moment, that sense of peace in the midst of a storm. Joy is that rest in the midst of difficulty. Joy is what God gives us even when things aren't going exactly right. And I don't know about you, but if I depended on happiness in order to be satisfied, there'd be lots of time that I wasn't. It's sad to me to watch people flail around and frail and in life waiting for things to get normal. I just can't wait for things to get normal again. We talk about this occasionally, I know, but I just can't wait for things to be normal. I want things normal. Let me tell you something. If people are dying around you, if folks are sick around you, if there's trouble and burdens to be borne, you are experiencing normal. We have this idea that if we get to the place where everything's hunky-dory, isn't that a great word? If we get to the place where everything is good, where I've got all my ducks in a row. Let me tell you something, my ducks got out of row 20-some years ago, maybe longer than that. And I don't even know where all my ducks are. This idea, if I could get my ducks in a row, then, hey, I could be happy. Let me tell you something. You don't need happy. God will give you happy. But you need joy. You need joy. It's that thing that you can rest even when the world's falling apart around you. Why? Because I'll tell you something. The Word of Life, Jesus, He's not falling apart. As a matter of fact, Jesus has always brought joy. Luke chapter number 1, Mary's carrying Jesus in her womb. She comes in the presence of Elizabeth, who's carrying John the Baptist in her womb. And the Bible says in verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance." What did Jesus do? The first time Jesus and John the Baptist were in the same room, before they were even born, Jesus brought joy. Look at the next page, chapter number 2. Chapter number 2. There's shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And verse number 9, the Bible says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." What did Jesus do? Jesus has been bringing joy. Jesus has always brought joy. Go to the end of the book of Luke with me. Luke chapter 24. Jesus has already died on the cross. He's already been buried. He's already risen from the dead. He spent time with his disciples. And he's ascended into heaven. The Bible says in verse 50 of Luke, chapter number 24, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." What does the Word of Life do? The Word of Life brings joy. Jesus has always brought joy. In the Psalm 16:11, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." And if you take a minute and look at all the times in the Bible the word joy is used, it will always be associated with people trusting in the Lord. You see, happiness comes when, for that split second, when it seems like everything is okay. How many of you have been really happy? You've had a moment. I mean, and I'm all for these moments. You've had a moment where it just seemed like everything in the whole world was right. You had a moment. And man, it was happy. You had that moment. Everything, this happens to me, Katie. A lot of times it's when I'm eating because I like a good meal. You know, you get a steak and you're like, man, everything in the world is right now. But when the steak's concluded, you realize, wow, I was happy, but I was pretty oblivious to everything else going on. Have you ever had those moments, those happy moments, you know? Hey, look, don't despise them. They're fine. You have this happy moment when everything was just awesome. But then when that moment, that experience has passed, life's back. Life's back. Do you know what you need when life comes back? You need the Word of Life. You need Jesus. Why? Because Jesus gives us joy. And joy in Jesus helps us when we wake up and realize the moment that is so happy has passed, but Jesus will never fail me. The moment that was so happy has passed, but Jesus will never change. You see, knowing Jesus helps us to understand that, hey, I'm going to have to deal with trouble. I'm going to have to deal with difficulties for this life. But there's eternal life through the Word of Life. And God gives us joy. Where do you get joy? When all things are going your way? Absolutely not. You get joy when you know that God is going to be faithful. And Jesus is the Word. And Jesus is the life. And Jesus can be trusted. You see, it's trusting in Jesus that gives you joy when you get the worst news possible. It's trusting in Jesus that gives you joy when you know that you're going to have to go through life with an empty spot. It is trusting in Jesus that gives you joy to know that life is short, eternity is long, and God is faithful.
You see, Jesus is the Word of life. And the Word of life brings us joy. I like that phrase. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Look, I'm so thankful that I can tell you that your joy today can be full. Your joy tomorrow can be full. Your joy next week can be full. Your joy next year can be full. Your joy through Christ can be full. You see, that's where we mess up. We're always striving to be happy. We're always striving to have those perfect moments. As hard as you work, those perfect moments just don't last. Have you noticed that? Those perfect moments, they don't last. They're fine. And they're little treasures and they're things that God gives us to enjoy. It's good. But if you spend your whole life looking for happiness, you're going to find your whole life full of lots of empty moments. As a matter of fact, for every happy moment, you end up with an empty moment. But when you make Jesus the joy of your life, that's what He does. The Word of life gives us joy. When you make Jesus the joy of your life, hey, you get to enjoy the happy moments, and you have joy in your heart, knowing that God is faithful when the happy moments vanish away. And you have joy in your heart when the hard things happen. Why? Because the Word of life, He, Jesus, He's good. You can trust the Lord. You can trust the Word of life. The Word of life brings joy. Let's pray.